Good morning, Katrina. God bless you. We'll be starting in just a minute. Enjoy the music. I will wait for others. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. As we come into his presence with this worship, it is time to praise the name of the Lord. Oh, what a day. Let's bless the name of the Lord this morning. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. Let's give him praise on here this morning. Let's thank the Lord and let's just praise him. Listen to the music. Let it bring you into his presence and let's just worship him. Let's ask for an overpowering of his presence in our lives. Oh Lord God, thank you Jesus. We praise your name this morning, Lord. Grant us, O Lord, an entrance into the presence of the Lord here this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Come and make your presence known, even on here this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's share the room, please. Share it on Clubhouse. and share the room to invite others. I believe God's going to bless every one of us here this morning.
God glory, God bless the life of your river flow. The truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let away of your glory, the weight of your glory fall.
Hallelujah. Let the weight of your glory fall, Lord. Spirit of a living God, come and make your presence known even here this morning. Reveal the glory of the living God in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known.
We only seek your face here this morning, Lord. Not just your hand, Lord. We want to know you, Lord. We want to see you, Lord. Reveal your glory even in this place, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let you the weight of your glory cover us this morning. Hallelujah.
Reign in us the way of glory. Weight of your glory.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise here this morning as we enter into his presence. Good morning, Katrina. God bless you. Thank you for joining. Good morning, Sister Grace. Good morning, Sister Julia. Thank you for joining. And good morning, honey. Thank you for joining. Let's get started right away. We're going to pray. Honey, you're there. Just bring us in his presence and let's worship him. A few minutes of prayer and we'll get started.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to the room. God bless you all. Let us pray and open this room. Father, we just thank you again for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us to your presence. We thank you for waking us up in the land of the living, for taking us throughout the dangers of the night. Thank you, Lord, because you put us to bed last night and you woke us up this morning. Thank you, Lord, because you are our very present help in time of need. As we enter into your presence this morning, we ask that you download upon us your word. Lord, I present to you, Lord, my husband, Pastor Yato, that you will be with him, that you will use him mightily this morning, Lord, to bring out the word of God. And Lord, the most holy place, the destination, that as we begin to take this journey to the most holy place, that you will help us, Lord, to get to that destination. Make us worthy, Lord, for that holy place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. There's one more song that's so appropriate. Just sing along as we enter the Holy of Holies this morning.
worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord,
I worship you, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah, Lord, this morning. I worship you, Lord. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Anywhere we are, worship is acceptable. But when you get into that holy of holies, for your name is holy, Lord. Holy. Holy Lord. For your name is holy, Lord. Glory to God. Holy Lord. I enter the Holy of Holies this morning. Let's enter in this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Thy word save you. I word save you. For your name is holy. Holy love. For your name is holy. Oh, 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 your name is, your name is holy, holy Lord. Your name is holy, holy. For your name is holy, 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 holy. Your name is holy, 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 holy. Oh, your name is holy, 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 holy. For your name is holy, holy, holy. Your name is holy, your name is holy. Good morning again, everyone. Thank you for being here. Lord, we just praise your name this morning. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us. We ask, O Lord, fill our hearts with the knowledge of the truth of your kingdom, even on this morning. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you. It's another day. It's a day of joy and a day of gladness, a day of peace shall be for every one of us. Before we get started here this morning, you know, I want to just remind us of all of his goodness and all the things. You take a minute to remind yourself of all of his goodness. We're here today by the grace of God. I know I laid down to sleep last night, but this morning I am up again and I give him praise and I give him glory. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. What the Lord has done for me, there's a song that says that I cannot tell it all. But when I think of all of his goodness, it just makes me want to shout, hallelujah. And another song says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We thank him and we praise him this morning. The Lord is merciful and gracious. You know, he's full of compassion, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The Lord is good over all his works, as we praise him on here this morning. Glory to God. Let's read a psalm together as we enter into his presence. Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord. We're going to read Psalm 145 together as we come in his presence this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I got to get this voice going here this morning. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 145. Good morning, Sister Buki. You have your Bible there. Would you like to read? If not, I'll go ahead and read. We're going to read Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. And I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you. We give you praise. And we give you glory here this morning. Praise ye the Lord, he says in Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. And praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He had also established them forever and ever. He had made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, he says in Psalm 149. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, who bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor of all his saints, praise ye the Lord. Amen. And the last psalm says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you there this morning. I want to hear us praise the Lord this morning. You can either speak or add your praise to the chat room. We want to just take a few minutes to praise the Lord this morning. I'm not sure how much I will go into today, unless we get some more people here. I just want to praise the Lord. Let's just thank him and praise him. You know, we can give a testimony of his goodness as well. You know, I mean, since we started this room now, going to almost 30 days, you know, what is it that the Lord has done for us? 30 days coming every morning into his presence, burning wood upon the altar, sparking up the fire again. There ought to be some testimonies. There ought to be some, something good that the Lord has done out of this. So perhaps we'll take a minute or two and hear testimony. You can do it verbally, or you can post it in the chat room. That's good. We want to hear what the Lord is doing. What has the Lord been doing especially this last 30 days since we started this room? I will start first. My testimony is that it's just amazing. I'm singing all day long now in my heart. I used to do that too, quite a bit. But these days, it seems like, I just cannot get a song out of my head. It's there. I'm just singing a worship song, coming into his presence, entering into the Holy of Holies, and let the weight of his glory, fall upon me. Those songs are just in my heart and mind throughout the day, and it's keeping me in his presence. It's keeping me in his presence. Even when I'm at work, I'm at work on the computer and this and talking to people, but in my mind, I'm singing. I'm just singing. I'm just enjoying fellowship with the Lord. My goodness. And it's just been amazing. So I thank him, and it's a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. The first Adam, he said, was a living soul. The second one was a quickening spirit. Quickening us, quickening me, I believe, making me alive again. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from that dead, and Christ shall give you life. There's a part of my life that's been awakened. Glory to God. Especially this early morning thing. I never used to have any activity early morning like this in his presence. The best that I would do is get up around 5:30-ish to 6 o'clock. And then it was always a drag, And then a little here, a little there, Maybe I'll, go for a walk or something, while I'm listening to the Bible or doing something. But coming into this room now these days, just coming into his presence and knowing that other people are coming early in the morning. It's just a blessing. There's a song that talks about early in the morning. And I can't think of that song right now, but early in the morning, just come in early in the morning, such as this. For me, it's early. And for us who are in Arizona, it's early, So it's, I am blessed. Praise God. What about you? What is it that the Lord has inspired in you? Glory to God. What has he inspired in us? What are we doing to try to keep that inspiration alive and keep that fire burning and not go back to sleep? What I am doing is trying to be consistent, because consistency is the thing that, or lack thereof, is the thing that, makes us lose any impetus that the Lord has started in us. If we're not consistent, and then we'll find out the next thing we know, it's a gradual drawing back. But if we are consistent, the Lord will reward that consistency. So I'm thankful this morning, and I started to pray for consistency myself. I said, Lord, I don't want a day when I get up and say, I can't do this. or the devil put something in my mind to make me think I can't do it. I know I can do it, you know, but the enemy might put something there and say, well, you can't do it. You know, so I've been praying for consistency and see how the Lord will go with this. You know, consistency, just being there in his presence every morning. Come into this room and share fellowship with other believers. That's just been so precious. So that's my take. What's your take? And Sister Julia, you're on stage. Can you speak? If not, you can post in the chat room. Can you speak?
I can speak.
Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody in the room. Good morning, sir. I'm thankful to be here, and I give the glory to the Lord. Yes, I share some of your testimonies. Yes, when I first came into this room, which I can't even remember how I was prompted, I think I got the invite, and I looked at the time, and I said, ooh, this is early. But as soon as I prayed and I asked God to give me the grace and the strength to wake up early, he has been prompting me. There are some days that I'm just totally physically exhausted from working that I could not come, but even I listened to the replays. My testimonies are many, but I will make it short. Yes, the fire has been burning in my soul since I started coming, and may it not burn out in Jesus' name. Before I started coming on this platform and in this room, I was going through a period of, I don't know how to put it into words, but I was going through a thing and I could not even understand it myself. I was asking God a lot of questions about my walk with him and what is going on. I don't feel you like I used to, and praying and fasting and saying, Lord, I just want you back. I just want you, you know, you are all I want. Take everything else. Just, I want your presence. I want your power. And I was seeking his face in that direction. And I believe, you starting this room and myself coming to be part of it was the answer to my quest. Just like you testified, sir, I cannot stop just being joyful again. And I told somebody, I said, I feel like I'm back to when I gave my life to Christ 30-something years ago. The joy of the Lord, just being so joyful. Nothing would offend me these days and nothing would bug me. I'm joyful. I'm happy. There's a song in my soul 24/7, even when I'm sleeping. There's a song that is there and I wake up singing, you know, and praising God and doing my work with joy, even though very stressful work that I do. But nowadays I'm happy with my patients. I'm smiling and they can tell that something is different with this lady these days. I just cannot be bothered with so much. I thank God for that. His word always in my heart. When I'm thinking about a thing, the word of God is there in my soul, in my spirit, just answering my questions myself with the word of God. I cannot put into words how good I feel. It is a wonderful thing. The fire truly is burning. And I say that burning in my soul, burning in my spirit. I'm rejuvenized. I have hope again in the Lord whom I had believed. I have joy. I have peace. And I thank God for that. I feel refreshed. It's a beautiful refreshing. The word of God, the reminders and the new things that I'm learning. By his grace, I'm putting them to use the best I can. And it's a blessing, a wonderful blessing. And I say, may this fire continue to burn in our souls and may it not diminish in the name of Jesus, but shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I just love him. And I just ask that he will continue to love on us. And as we seek him, that we will get to that place when he begins to you know, his spirit began to seek us and run after us like we were ministered to the other day. I seek him and I pray that, you know, it will not only be for us, but that this revival fire, we will be able to spark it wherever we are, to other people, to other believers and non-believers alike. So I just give God the praise and the glory for this room and all he's doing, all he has done, and all he will yet do in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, sir, for the dedication. And yes, we'll continue to pray for consistency. I pray for that too. I don't want to have a day that I'm not here, but there are days that I just cannot. But for every day that I can, I will be here until, you know, God takes us somewhere else. But I'm so thankful to you, to your wife, for the diligence and the grace to do this. Glory be to the Lord God whom we serve. Blessed be his name forever. I will yield the mic now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Buki, for that. That was so powerful. Yes, we just follow the steering and the moving of the Spirit of God. You know, there were a few times in my life when I really felt some renewed joy. Yeah, this is one of them again. You know, there was a time, you know, most of the time in my early days, you know, I was so filled of joy when I was in the middle of something going on. You know, either we were out evangelizing, we were casting out some devils somewhere, we were doing something, people were getting saved or healed or this and that, you know. And then after some years, there was a big, long lull, you know. And, you know, I remember even coming into the United States way back in 1983. Yeah, I came in with a lot of excitement, but it wasn't even quite there like, you know, like it was in the, you know, 70s and early, you know, up into even when I left Nigeria, you know. And then after a while, there was a lull, you know, just a long lull, you know. And even though I was going to the house of God and hearing the man of God, some powerful messages, there really wasn't too much going on, because, you know, we're just all sitting down in the temple. And until such a time, you know, as I took a step of faith, you know, to go back into the field, you know, we started then, you know, just myself, a couple friends, and I started going to the hospitals. And I never felt so much joy. You know, just to be able to minister to people, you know, I saw the joy that was in the faces of some people who never even had anyone to visit them. You know, got the chaplain badge and was able to go in even to the emergency room. You know, and, you know, people who are in dire situations, you know, and say, well, you know, with the badge, I could just say that I pray for you. And it was okay. You know, I couldn't do it without the badge. But once we got the badge, I could do it. And we went into so many rooms, you know, and I could see. And there are some people who were just there. They had nobody to even visit with them. And I said, wow. And I remembered when I was in hospital, you know, that would have been 5 years before that particular time. And I remember it was such a precious thing when somebody came, you know, and I would take time and just talk to these people, just pray for them, you know. And my goodness, I mean, that was just an amazing joy that was in my heart. You know, and the joy of just being, you know. And I remember before then, you know, I was praying, like Sister Julia was saying. I was praying. I said, Lord, you know, I need you, you know, I need to go. I need to be back. You know, take me back to the place. You know, I used to sing that song, you know, and I just needed to be back, you know. And I find joy more, you know, me personally, I don't know about others, you know, but, you know, I mean, I love the Lord and I serve the Lord in my own way and so forth. But I find joy more when I'm able to help somebody, you know, in spiritual things, if I'm able to pray for somebody, if they give their life to Christ, or I'm able to pray for somebody and they're healed, you know, and I'm able to encourage them or speak some word of encouragement. And, you know, it's just so rewarding, you know. And after a while, you know, there was a lull again. But today I am thankful by the grace of God that the fire is back. Glory to God. You know, and I'm hoping, I'm praying. I don't want this up and down stuff, you know. I don't want this up and down, you know. So that's the lesson I actually wanted to teach today. Maybe I will. Maybe I will do it tomorrow. I don't know. But I want to hear testimony first. You know, the enough of this in and out. You know, it's just enough. You know, we need to, you know, be, you know, we need to be in an abiding state, you know, when we get in there with him, you know, and not just go in and out. So I'm taking some testimonies on the impact of what God is doing in our lives, you know, these days, especially, you know, this month since we've been coming into this room. I mean, I'm not taking credit for anything, but I'm just want to hear it. I mean, whether you are in this room or not, you know, God's been working in your heart. Whether it's from this room or not, there's something going on, you know. And if there is something going on, then share it this morning. I want to hear it, you know, and let's encourage one another. And how do we, what does it all mean when there's a stirring in our hearts like that? Well, it means that it is at the door. It's our very door, you know. The what God has promised is upon us, you know, the final work of getting the elect ready and fired up, you know, to go in a blaze to, you know, with the Lord when he comes. We're going to leave a witness. Absolutely. We have to leave a witness, you know, before we leave. And it's going to be a powerful witness. And I think it's happening right now. The fire is being kindled. You know, we're hearing testimonies from everywhere, you know, not just even people who come into this room or not. We're hearing testimonies, you know, what things God is sparking everywhere around the world. So we want to hear your testimony. What's going on in your life these days? You know, what is that sparking that's in your heart, you know, trying to get you fired up and ready for the coming of the Lord? You know, so let's hear your testimony. Honey, welcome back. You know, so give your testimony.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, indeed. I am fired up. I am fired up. I just enjoy, you know, the presence of the Lord. Nothing else will satisfy me, but just being in his presence all day long. It's 24/7. Just praising him, or, you know, listening to his word, or reading his word, or doing one thing or the other, or witnessing. I was opportune to go to the to CAS yesterday with the group, and it was amazing. I was fulfilled. You know, my goodness. So many of them, you know, the way they had it, you know, some people were giving out snacks to the homeless people, and then some we were asking them, do you want prayer? Do you want and about a couple of them that was assigned for me to pray for, my goodness, I've never seen such a surge of power that came through. Was like electric power that just came through. And even the people that I was praying for, they were shaking and crying. I said, oh my God, what has befallen me? The Lord is good. And I just felt that power all over. And the person, I mean, anyone that you touch like that is just we just catch the fire. So, and it's amazing. And, you know, I see deliverance some people that have been on drugs, you know, because that's one of the things we ought to be doing, to deliver those that are bound by the devil. Not just preaching the gospel to them. We're supposed to deliver them. And I saw deliverance. You know, people being delivered from addiction to drugs. They've said it in their mouth that they're delivered to cocaine and methamphetamine and all kinds of drugs. And, you know, that I could see deliverance. You know, the eyes of their understanding, you know, the wisdom coming back to their faces. And, you know, especially one man that I prayed for, you know, he just like that. And I just thank God. I say, this is what I'm looking for. This is it. Back to what God wants us to do, to deliver the people, to pray for the sick and let them be healed. And this is what God is calling us to, heal the sick. Raise the dead, even. He said, raise the dead. Deliver those that are bound by the devil. So we need to go out. And as we receive all this word, as we receive all this, let us go out and use it to help the people, to deliver them. Let's not sit on them. Let's use them. So I thank God for that opportunity. I bless the name of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love the way you said to deliver the people. And I just posted a scripture. This is actually, I believe, the part of the process. You know, it is, you know, process of bringing people into the kingdom. It is so important. You know, this is the way that Paul himself described it. You know, how the Lord gave him instruction, you know, when he had that encounter, you know, and he said, look, the Lord said to him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Acts 20. This was his own recounting of it. Acts 26, you know, verse 15. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people. You know that Luke, the beloved physician, they called him, he wrote an account of this, you know, he wrote this book in the Acts of the Apostles. But there are many, there were two places where this account was given. There was one in Acts chapter 9. It wasn't that detailed there. But in this chapter, you know, it is much more detailed. You know, much more detailed here of what the Lord exactly, you know, how the Lord told him. And, you know, he was before this man called King Agrippa. And he was saying, the Lord said to me to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So this, you know, these are the things that must happen, you know, to get people saved and deliver them, you know, from the power of Satan unto God, you know, that they may receive forgiveness. In order for them to receive forgiveness, their eyes have to be open. They have to be turned from darkness to light. They have to be delivered from the power of Satan and brought into the power of God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. So, I mean, this is, you know, it's a great, you know, a great eye-opener, you know, for me when I saw the things that are involved in what Jesus told Paul that he needed to do. Saul at the time, you know, that he needed to do. So, you know, and he said, look, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Glory to God. So let us not, even at this time, be disobedient to the heavenly vision. There is a work that must be done first in us. You know, we must first receive and then be a conduit of what God is sending. You know, we must receive. Remember, the river, wherever it gets to, you know, everything that it touches must be healed. We cover that in Ezekiel 47. And when it's healed like that, first myself, if the river is coming through me, I must be healed of all infirmities of the mind and soul, you know, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And then that river continues to flow out of me, through me, and out of me, you know, and wherever it touches, it must be healed. And there will be a multitude of fish. It's an amazing declaration in the book of Ezekiel 47. We covered that a couple of weeks ago. You know, that river is amazing. It is a river that makes glad the house of God. And wherever it gets to, scripture says it must be, bring healing. Anything it touches will bring healing. Everywhere it gets to will bring healing. And not only that, a multitude of fish. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that's Ezekiel 47 and verse 9, something like that. You know, so, you know, where I'm taking testimonies this morning of what the Lord is doing in our hearts right now. What is the Lord doing? You know, what is the Lord doing? How are you getting stirred up, you know, at this time? What is an awakening? What is the awakening that you're feeling in your soul and in your spirit? You know, we want to hear that testimony, you know, today. If you can share it, if you can come to the stage and share it, you know, I'd love to hear it. Or if you can paste a little bit of it in the chat room, it's easier to speak than to, for me, and than to type all these things with one finger here. You know, so we want to hear it. What is the Lord doing at a time such as this in your life? Glory to God. What is He doing? Thank you, Jesus. That's the, you know, we want to hear that this morning. Glory to God. Let me see. Is anybody raising their hand to come to stage or share with us something? You know, I'm trying to post this verse. It's too long, so I'll just post the reference. It's Ezekiel 47 and verse 9. I don't know what they did with this chat room. I don't know how many characters you can post at a time, but there is a limit to what you can post. And if it's too long, you have to kind of edit it, cut it out. I can't do that when I'm talking. You know, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall leave. Glory to God. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And every living thing whither, you know, the river cometh. I mean, there's this river that is just flowing. And then did Jesus even say it himself? You know, that on the last day, that great day of the feast, didn't he stand up and cry in John 7 and 37? And say, you know, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And as the scripture has said, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. And that which he spake was concerning the Holy Ghost. And this river, this living river, my goodness, there is something about it. Everywhere it gets to, people be healed. Glory to God. And there will be a multitude of fish. There is something about when people are coming in into the kingdom, when people are getting saved, when miracles and so forth are happening, you know, and when there is never a dull moment, there is something about that. And that's what I'm praying about. And that's what I'm hoping for, you know, and a month or two ago, well, maybe a couple months ago, you know, I was speaking here at our local service, and I talked about something new, you know, and from that time was when God began to spark something in me, preparing me for that. And I said, look, I want something new. You know, the old is good, but then something new is better. Glory to God. You know, so I want something new. I want to experience something new every time. You know, we can experience it individually, but then collectively, when we gather together, there ought to be sparks of fire. I'm still trying to figure out how to engage people in this room more. You know, so I'm not the one that's just doing all the talking all the time. You know, we got to get sparks of fire. One spark and another one and yet another one together will make a bigger flame and a bigger fire. You know, so, you know, it's amazing the new thing that God is inspiring in our hearts. And any of those of us that will be going to the house of the Lord today, expect also something new. You know, if we don't expect something new, it'll just be more of the same. More of the same is not very helpful. You know, it's not very helpful. You know, Gideon, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in Judges, I believe chapter 6, you know, and the angel said to him, he said, look, thou art a mighty man of valor and all of that, you know. And the man said, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with us. You know, if the Lord be with us, you know, then where be all of these things that we have heard then? Reading from Judges chapter 6, verse 13. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. Thou art a mighty man of valor. That was his salutation. I mean, isn't that a wonderful salutation? If the angel of the Lord comes to you and say, the Lord is with you, you are a mighty woman of valor. Or he says, you are a mighty man of valor. That's an amazing salutation coming from the angel, not coming from people, you know, coming from the angel of the Lord. But this man said, well, you know, this man was not satisfied with even that kind of salutation. You know, he wasn't satisfied with the status quo. He said, look, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers have told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord, he said, has forsaken us. So he challenged the Lord right there. So the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us in the hands of these Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, well, goodness, God saw a fire inside of him. He said, go in this thy might. I see the fire inside of you. Because he wasn't going to be satisfied with the status quo. And that's the thing that we need. We need something, a breakaway, you know, from, you know, the status quo. You know, more of the same, just the same everything. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when they were waiting, it wasn't more of the same. You know, they didn't know what was going to hit. You know, they were just waiting in expectation because the Lord said, tarry ye, glory to God. I believe he told them that in Luke 24 and verse 49. He said, wait for the endowment of power. You know, and then they were waiting. They didn't know quite what it would look like, you know, but, you know, the Lord said, wait. So, well, okay, fine. We're going to wait. You know, so they were all there, you know, waiting. And then one day, you know, nobody knew, you know, exactly when it would be, but they were waiting. But Jesus timed it just right because there was a significance to the day of, you know, the Pentecost, the feast and all of that, you know. So, but he timed it just right. But when he hit, my goodness, the heavens split, cloving tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Glory to God. And then they began to prophesy and speak in other tongues. I mean, the Lord had told them that this sign shall follow them that believe. They will speak with other tongues. But nobody ever really knew when that would happen. Maybe they didn't even know what that meant, you know. And it wasn't something they learned. I mean, today people are learning how to speak in other tongues. And that's why there is no power. You know, I went somewhere one day and I saw somebody actually trying to teach some people how to speak in tongues. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, as the Spirit gave them utterance, you know, and when the power hit, you know, you can't teach somebody how to speak in tongues. You know, it, you teach them how to speak in tongues, they're just imitating something. All imitation are works of the flesh. It's called emulations, and they are works of the flesh. You know, and God is not pleased with that. And that's why there is no power. There's a lot of people speak in tongues, but there is no power, you know. But these people, they were not expecting to speak in tongues that particular day. What Jesus so told them was there will be an endowment of power. Acts 1:8 said the same. Said, ye shall receive power. And so their minds were on that power to be effective witnesses. What is that power going to look like? Well, they didn't really know, you know. But the Lord, he sent out cloven tongues of fire. My goodness. And almost like what he did for Isaiah. The seraphim took the coals of fire from the altar and branded him, touched his tongue. Did that for Peter also on the day of Pentecost. I mean, this Peter who was tongue-tied before, who couldn't even, embarrassed or ashamed or afraid to testify about the Lord, you know, even before a maid and so forth, when Jesus was being taken to be crucified, he stood up before a crowd that had thousands of people, because out of that crowd, 3,000 people were saved. I don't think it was everybody that was saved. So there would have been more than 3,000. My goodness. And he just spoke the word and indicted that generation. And he said, look, you crucified the Lord of glory, and this same Christ whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. This same Jesus whom you crucified. And my goodness, and when he spoke, the people were cut in pieces in their hearts. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of them and said, what shall we do to be saved? And he gave it to them. That's right. And give them the secret. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all many that are afar off, as many as all of them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. From that time on until today, this promise that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Glory to God. Still happening till this day. My goodness. So here we are. What is your testimony? What is God doing in your life today? Are you experiencing something new? Something new. Are you fired up? Is there an awakening in your heart? You know, so I want to hear the testimony. You know, I don't think I'm going to do the lesson that I was thinking I'm going to do today. I just feel like doing this testimony. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow, maybe some other day. But I want to hear what the Lord is doing in your hearts and lives, even at this time. You know, iron sharpeneth iron. So as we hear, we are encouraged. I know that, you know, people used to be so, excited and fired up when they would hear testimony. Back in the day, I don't know what testimony does to people these days. But I remember once when I, you know, in the fellowship that we were very young then. This was back in the 70s. And we went and gave a testimony how the Lord had delivered a crazy person that we met on the street. My wife and I did. Somebody crazy. And when you're talking, people are not on this, they're not in the street in Nigeria unless they're really crazy. You know, in those days, there was nothing like homeless person, you know, because there was always some brother, some auntie, some uncle, some this grandma, or whoever you could live with. You know, and for somebody to be on the street, they really were crazy. And this man was really crazy. He was like that, you know, that possessed man of the Gadarenes. I mean, and he taught, you know, jumped on anybody that came across that street around that area. And when the Lord used us to set him free, I've given this testimony before, you know, when he came into his right senses, we took him to the Salvation Army and got him you know, clothed and everything. You know, he didn't know. I mean, he didn't. We don't know how long he'd been in that condition. Been a long time. Then when we went to the fellowship to give that testimony, my goodness. Of course, you know, the man also came to the fellowship, and somebody jumped up and said, "I gotta go find some crazy people to deliver." You know, that's a power testimony. It wasn't really our testimony. It was the Lord's testimony through us. I mean, the Lord did it. His Bible says testimonies are sure, you know. And so that's the power of testimony. You know, it excites, it ignites, it even incites, you know, us. The Bible says provoking one another, you know, to good works. You know, that's what a really good testimony for the Lord does. It will provoke. You know, and I, every time I hear, you know, some real testimony, you know, that's how I came into the Lord. You know, when I was a young man, there was some, was a group of people that used to tell us some great things. You know, I was in high school, they were in the university. They come to our fellowship and tell us some things, you know, and I was like provoked. It's like, my goodness, I got to be able to do that. Picked up the book of Acts, you know, and I said, wow. They did all those things, you know, and then began to step out in faith, and it was happening. Glory to God. So, you know, I know Sister Julia spoke, and Lady Ebon did, and who else is in the room that would like to share testimony? You can come to the stage if you want to, and share with us and what God is doing in your life these days, or put it in the chat room, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to do some prayers this morning. We'll come back and do the lesson of the Most Holy Place some other day, but not today. I'm feeling led in a different direction. I want to just give the testimony of God, what He's doing, you know, and the awakening that is happening. And if you're seeing some miracles and some things, you know, come and share, you know, and let's give praise and glory to God. You know, the greatness of what the Lord is doing is, here in our hearts today. And it's, you know, we give the testimony to Him. I mean, it's really His testimony. You know, He's the one that's doing the works. Jesus said, look, if you don't believe me for believing me's sake, you know, then believe me for the work's sake. Because it is the Father that dwelleth in me that doeth the works. You know, so it is the Father that's in us that is doing the works. So anytime we give testimony, it's really the Lord's testimony. Because He is the one that doing it through us. You know, so any takers here this morning? If not, then we're going to go into prayers. I want to pray for consistency. You know, is what I want to pray about today. Consistency. The scripture says, look, you know, if we put our hands on the plow and, you know, and we look back, then we're not fit for the kingdom. So we want consistency in the things of the Lord. Consistency. Again, remember Lot's wife, you know, Luke 17 and 30. She looked back, you know, and the story didn't end very well for her. The angel of the Lord told them, don't look back. Get thee out of this place, you know. And in her mind, I don't know what was so attractive about that place that she still looked back. Her heart was still there. Not sure what she was doing, why she was there. You know, it's like the children of Israel, too. Their heart was still in Egypt, you know, and God said, get out of there. I got something new for you. And their hearts were always going back in that place, you know. So, you know, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, you know, but we must go forward. Forward always. We got to keep going and finish this race, you know. So, all right, let me see if anybody else want to say something, and then if not, we're going to go into prayers. I'm going to ask my wife, you know, lead us in this session of prayer. We want to do a session of consecration. Consecration. Consecration time when we will not be discouraged. We will not fall back. You know, we will not lose our confidence in the Lord. Bible says, you know, our confidence has great recompense of reward. I think that's Hebrews 10:35 or something like that. You know, yeah, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, you know, hallelujah. And then, you know, a few verses later, it says, you know, if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him, you know, verses 38 and 39. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul and of them that press forward, you know. Not only do we believe, we're not going to stand still in the same position. You know, we must keep pressing forward. We read that the other day. Paul said, I press forward toward the mark. I got to keep going. You know, I got to know him more. For me to know him is to have eternal life and to know what he has purposed upon the earth. Glory to God. So I want to take a time of prayer, just a few, some minutes as we take that prayer topic and other topics that may arise. We will take them, but we're going to start with that one. We want to pray for consistency in this journey. You know, at one time Jesus said, will you also go back? After he dropped some hard things in John chapter 6, when he began to talk about, look, you know, Moses never gave you the real bread from heaven. I am the bread of heaven, the real bread. You know, and he said, look, except you eat, you know, of this bread, you know, he said, you shall have no life in you. And he said, the bread that I give is my life, you know, which I give for the world. And the people began to say, well, what is this man talking about? How are we going to eat his flesh? Many of them were offended and they left. And Jesus looked at, you know, the closest, the 12, and said to them, well, will you also depart? And a few times he asked them that question. One time Peter said, look, where shall we go? You know, you have the words of eternal life. I mean, we are not going anywhere. You know, I mean, they were determined to stick it out with the Lord, even if they didn't understand. And they didn't understand. And Jesus told them, well, there are many things you don't understand now. But when after I'm glorified and the Holy Ghost shall come, he'll bring it to your remembrance and he will expound it to you, and then you will understand. You know, but by faith, many of them just carried on. There's a whole bunch of things they didn't understand. You know, from time to time, they would ask some questions, like show us the Father and all that. You know, just tell us the way where you're going and all that. But, you know, they hung in there. They hung in there, hung in there until the day that the heavens split open with the tongues of fire. Holy Ghost came upon them like that, and they became something new. Something new. So let's pray. Let's pray for consistency here this morning. Ani, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. Lead that session.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we just come again and we thank you again for this gathering. Well, we thank you, Lord, for the fire that you have started. Lord, let this fire not go out in the name of Jesus. But I will pray, oh Lord, that we'll be consistent in whatever we do, Lord, in our praise, in our worship, in our gathering, Lord, whatever you have established, nothing shall be put to it. Nothing shall take it out. Father, therefore, Lord, establish our goings in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this room that you have started by yourself, by your spirit, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, that your spirit will keep us going in this fire that is burning every day. Lord, we pray, Lord, for consistency. We pray, Lord, for consistency. We pray, Lord, that we will be consistent in whatever we do. Lord, especially in the service of the Lord. Father, in our homes, in our ministry, whatever you have placed in our hands to do, Lord, give us the grace to be consistent. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that you have called. Even in the church, there are pastors, prophets, Lord, the gifting of God that is in us. Lord, we pray that you will waken us wake us up in all the gifting that you have placed in our lives. Whatever it is, oh Lord, whether it is prophesying, whether it is healing of the sick, Father, whatever it is that you have put in our hearts to do, Lord, help us to be faithful. That you said those that are faithful in little shall be faithful in much. Father, we pray, Lord, that the little we have in our hands, that we'll be faithful to you in every area of our lives. We pray, Lord, that we will not look back like Saul's wife that looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Father, we pray, Lord, that nothing will hold us back in our walk with you. Lord, that we'll continue this walk no matter what, Lord. We'll continue in all that we're doing. We continue by faith, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the word of God that is downloading in our hearts, oh Lord. Let it, Lord, produce what you have proposed to do. Lord, let it produce life in us. Let it produce grace. Let it produce the fire to continue in this race. But I will just continue to pray, Lord, that we'll continue, and we pray especially for the man of God here, Lord, that my husband that is giving us this word, let him not, Lord, be discouraged. We pray, Lord, that you encourage him. Lord, let you continue, oh Lord, in this fire. Lord, that you will not think that all this effort, oh Lord, we know that you are the one doing this work. And we know you are the one that's going to fulfill it. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring the hearers, Lord, and Lord, even as you speak, oh Lord, let there be a reception of these words, reception of this grace, reception of this anointing. Lord, that the anointing will go with us wherever we go, and the fire will become burning, that we'll be able to minister to others, Lord, even as you have ministered unto us, that we're able to transfer this fire to other people that needs it in the name of Jesus. But even as you have given us the mandate to go out and preach this gospel, to heal the sick, to deliver those that are bound by the devil, Lord, give us the ability and the power and the opportunity to go out and deliver those that are bound by the devil. Lord, to witness of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, we pray, oh Lord, that you will take away fear. And as we do this, we know persecution is going to come. Because, Lord, your word says, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. Therefore, Lord, as we go out and as we do your will, Lord, we know that you will fortify us with your grace to be able to withstand every persecution, everything that we said against us, even because we are doing the work of the Lord. Lord, let us keep on moving, because we are not here to please men, but we are here to please you. Give us the ability and the reason, Lord, to continue in this work that you are doing, that you have placed in our hands, oh Lord. Father, we bless your name. We give you glory and honor and power and majesty, Lord. And we pray over everyone in this room that the fire of God will begin to continue to burn in their lives. We pray over everyone, Lord, that the purpose of God in their lives will begin to manifest, Lord. Father, Lord, that they be yielded to the Spirit. They be yielded to your will. They be yielded to what you want them to do. Lord, in their private lives, in their business life, in everything that you have proposed in them to do. And above all, whatever we do for you is what we stand. Whatever, Lord, we work for you, that is what will stand. Therefore, we pray, oh Lord, that that will be our chief joy, to please you, to acquit ourselves with you, and so that we may have peace in our life, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the peace of God to continue to guide us. We rest, Lord, in your promises. We rest in your grace. We rest, Lord, in your virtue. Lord, we pray, oh Lord, that the peace of God will continually guide and keep us. We pray also for our children. As a city, oh Lord, let our children not be left behind. Lord, let them not catch this fire. Let them catch this fire and let it never go out. Lord, let this fire never go out. Let us continually, Lord, be in your presence. Let us not be distracted by anything of this world, because the friendship of this world is enmity to Christ, to you, Lord. Lord, we know that when things of this world entice us. Lord, let not God be enticed by anything that is, there's nothing worth in this world than you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we will not be friends of the world, but friends of you in the name of Jesus, by fulfilling your will, by fulfilling your desire in our lives. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you help us to stay firm. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us, Lord, to be consistent and to stand firm. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that. We're going to take next prayer point this morning is about, you know, evangelism. You know, there is something about revival and evangelism. And I want to talk about that real briefly. I have a topic that I will do someday, a full room on that. But today I just want to talk about that for a minute. And that's going to be our next prayer point. You know, when God begins to revive the hearts of the people, it must lead to evangelism. You know, that's what the scripture we read in Ezekiel chapter 47 and 9. You know, it must carry people along. You know, it can't just be revived in our heart and say we're revived. No. You know, when we are revived, it's got to lead to evangelism. Now, revival is for the church. Evangelism is what the church does, you know, among the world. You know, so revival is not for the world. You know, the world cannot be revived because they never had anything. What do you revive that wasn't there? You know, so when the church gets revived, then the church begins to evangelize. You know, I call it mobilize to evangelize. You know, when the church begins to be revived, then evangelism comes into play. You know, and the kind of evangelism is what, you know, the kind that brings miracles. You know, that's what revival does. Miracles. You know, and I want to just give us a couple of testimonies from the Bible. You know, Stephen, Acts chapter 6, verse 8. I mean, you know that in the Acts of the Apostles said, look, when they began to question them and say, look, we need the daily ministration. Some of our meal widows are left out and this and that. They said, fine. We're going to take care of that, but not we ourselves. We will need to preach the word. You appoint to yourselves seven men full of Holy Ghost and, you know, faith and all of that. Let them handle that business. So Stephen and Philip were among those that were appointed, you know. So if you read Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, you will see, you know, they said, look, we will give ourselves continue to prayer and to the ministry, but, you know, you can appoint some people. So they did. Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip was also appointed. Now, these two guys, Stephen and Philip, this is not Philip the apostle. You know, there were two of them. This is Philip the deacon that was appointed. You know, so they appointed these people, and then the Holy Ghost, apostles laid hands on them for the work of the ministry. And the word of God increased, verse 7, Acts chapter 6, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples and so forth. And Stephen in verse 8, Stephen, you know, remember these folks were just appointed to serve tables. They were appointed to take care of the daily ministration, you know. You know, they had some supply. You know, people used to bring things. They had all things in common. They would sell their lands. They bring things. They do this and that. And they were giving to those who didn't have enough. And so there were some people in charge of that. And Peter didn't want to be part of that anymore. He wanted to, you know, I remember one time the confrontation with Ananias and Sapphira, you know, and all of that. And so Peter said, look, enough of this. We need to preach the word. You find some people to do this. And these were two of the people that were found to do that. Stephen was one of them. Philip was the other. And then there were a few other names mentioned in that Acts chapter 6, verse 5. But this Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, listen to what it said. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. It wasn't on the stage, folks. You know, some people think that it's only when you come to church. a church service, you know, we are the church, so we shouldn't really go to church. I'm trying to correct myself on that. When you go to the, you know, fellowship of believers, which we call church service, you know, so the, you know, but no. And Stephen was not even one of the apostles. I mean, he was delegated to this supposedly lesser thing, you know, but yet he did great miracles and wonders among the people. This is what revival leads to, folks. It's not whether you are the one that has a mic to speak when you come into the church service. It is, you know, among the people. Some people call it the marketplace. You know, where you are, you know, on your job, when you go out, and wherever you are, among the people. This man did great miracles, you know, and he wasn't even one of the quote unquote leaders, you know, that were the preachers and the apostles and so forth. He did great miracles among the people. And fast forward to Acts chapter 8, you know, the same thing, you know, in verse 6, you know, this, you know, Philip, this other one who was one of the seven, you know, Philip also went down to Samaria, you know, and verse 5 says in Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, these people are supposed to be serving tables, but this is what revival does. Revival sparks you to go for evangelism. It doesn't matter whether you are assigned to the corner here or not. These people are assigned to the corner. Just serve the widows. Do all of these things. But no, they went out and did miracles among the people. That's right. So, you know, you may think that, well, you know, I'm not really one of the preachers or teachers in the church or whatever, you know, and I'm all just assigned to this little thing in corner. No, that doesn't prevent you. Go out in the midst of the people. Go out among the people and do great miracles and great wonders. That's what Stephen did. And listen to what Philip also did. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, in the olden days, they used to preach gospel to a whole city, not just one small place, a whole city. You know, the city of Samaria with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Some people saw and then, you know, the word started to spread. And others heard about it and they came. You know, and then they heard about it and they came. I mean, there was such a revival in that place. For unclean spirits began to cry out with a loud voice, coming out of many that were possessed with them. Those who were taken with paralysis, you know, they were and lame. They were healed. And that city was full of great joy. And this was a man that was supposed to be serving widows and so forth. You know, so look. This is what revival does. You know, true revival, this is what it does. Don't let the devil tell you that you are relegated to some corner in the church. No, you go out among the people. Glory to God. And you do great miracles. You can turn a whole city upside down, you know, or right side up in this case, you know. So this Philip, he did that, you know, and at the end of the day, there was so much great power in that place, you know, and then they actually called for help. You know, when the people believed Philip, all the things he preached, they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. So Philip sent for help, you know, for the real apostles, you know, to come and lay hands on them. It's not that he couldn't do it, but he just needed help. You know, he brought them in, they prayed for them, they were baptized, men and, you know, and so forth, you know, and then it was just incredible. And this same Philip was the one that the Lord said, okay, leave all of that, you know, and go out into, you know, the desert, you know, wherever I tell you. And that's another thing that revival does, you know, it causes obedience, you know, in the heart of those who are receiving that revival. I mean, this man, there was great miracle. I mean, through his hands, the whole city was turning to Christ. They were bringing their curious hearts and they were burning them. And they were getting saved. I mean, all kinds of things. You know, people, demon spirits were crying out. And then the Lord tell you to leave all that and go into the bush. No. Today, many of us will say that's the voice of the devil. And begin to refuse that voice. Begin to rebuke the voice. Begin to rebuke the voice. No, but it wasn't the voice of the devil. You know, he knew the voice of God. You know, and when the angel of the Lord told him, you know, leave all of that, you know, and move somewhere. You know, and, you know, these people never question God. They didn't have to have all the answers. When God tell you move, you move. That's it. And so this man moved. He didn't know where he was going. Leave all that stuff and then go into some desert somewhere. And that doesn't make any sense. You know, but the sense came later because when he went and joined himself, the Spirit told him, go and join yourself to that chariot that you see in the middle of the desert. You know, it was a man that came from Africa, the eunuch, who was reading the book of Isaiah 53, but had no clue what he was reading. You know, and God, that's why God sent Philip there. And so Philip, you know, when he was invited into the chariot, asked the man, what are you reading? He said, well, you know, I'm reading this book. You know, read some of it. Let me hear. So he read some of it. Oh, you know, and Philip recognized where the man was reading. He said, well, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no, how can I understand it when there's nobody to teach it to me? So Philip started at that very place where this man was reading, which was in Isaiah 53, and preached to the man Christ. My goodness, you know. And the way those people used to preach in those days too, they were very thorough. I mean, you go and listen to the messages that Stephen preached, that this Philip preached, you know, Paul preached to people, you know, in various places and so forth. You know, when he was preaching to the you know, people saw the unknown God, you know, how they take the scriptures and expound it and prove that Jesus was the very Christ. You know, it wasn't just a, you know, give your life to Christ and be saved kind of message. No. These people, they would preach the scriptures. And after that, this man, you know, they saw some water and he was baptized. He said, well, you know, can I be baptized? He said, well, why not? You know, how did he know about baptism? Because Philip started from these, you know, scriptures in Isaiah, preached all the way to John the Baptist. How John the Baptist, you know, introduced Christ and all of that. He preached the whole thing to this man. And then so this man understood that, oh, he needs to be baptized. He said, oh, preached everything. Even probably even preached what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. You know, that he must be baptized in the name of Jesus. I mean, he preached the whole thing to this man. You know, and then the man said, well, here's water. You know, why can I, you know, can I be baptized? The man said, well, of course, if you believe with all your heart, then you can be baptized. Say, of course, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. So you were baptized. And right after that, Holy Ghost gave this Philip an experience, which, you know, my goodness, bodily transportation. He was bodily transported from where he was to saw a different city. My goodness, not many of the apostles can even say that. I know one time they were all in the boat and immediately the boat was on the other side. So we know that they all experienced that together at one time. But individually, we don't know if they experienced it or not. But this man experienced it and he was just a deacon in their church. They weren't even anything. You know, I mean, it was just to be serving widows. This is what revival does. So there's a difference. The revival is for the church. To spark something in our hearts. You know, sometimes we have what we call revival services. And then we have 3-day revival, we call it. And we're trying to bring in the sick. We're trying to bring in the unsaved. That's not revival. Revival is for their church. When we are revived, then we go out into the marketplace, into the community. We don't need to bring the sinners into the church. We need to go where they are. Glory to God. Go where they are. Hallelujah. I mean, just consider somebody who wants to fish. You know, you just say, I will make you fishers of men. How do you fish? Do you sit in your house waiting for the fish to come to you? That is the silliest thing in the world. You go where the fish are. You take your fishing gear and you go down to the lake or the river or wherever to go find the fish. You're not going to sit down and wait for the fish to come to you, which is what we do. You know, when we say we are a revival, we're sitting down waiting for, you know, okay, let's just open our doors early. Let's open our doors so that people will just come. No. Revival is, you know, you get that fire in your heart. You take it to the marketplace, wherever you are, and you begin to do great wonders and miracles among the people. You come into the room. The power of conviction begins to fall on the people in the room. Now, that's evangelism. But it started as revival in your heart. He started a revival in our hearts. So that's going to be our next prayer point, is we want the effect of this revival to be translated into evangelism. You know, because the promise said in Ezekiel 47 and 9, there will be a great multitude of fishes when this river gets to anywhere. So this river is flowing, you know, flowing. We caught that. We've caught the fire now. It must translate. It can't just be, oh, we come into this room every day and we shout the glory and we say, oh yeah, you know, God. No, it must translate into something. We begin to go into our communities, into our areas and so forth, wherever we are, even in the neighborhoods where we live, you know, starting there, you know, say first in Jerusalem, you know, and then, you know, in all Judea and all the most, I mean, Samaria, Judea, all these places. So we start. What is your Jerusalem? You know, that's where you start, wherever you are. So that's going to be our next prayer point, you know, that we must, as we are getting this fire, getting this revival in our souls, we got to start Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. We got to start doing it. My Jerusalem could be my house. It could be my immediate neighborhood. And I'm praying that, you know, my wife and I have been discussing it. We got to hit this, our neighborhood. Yeah, got to hit that. You know, a lot of people already know us in this neighborhood, but we haven't really, you know, demonstrated yet the full power of God. You know, they know us, you know, some of them call me pastor, this and that and so forth. You know, they know, but you know, it's not enough. You know, we got to hit, you know, it's got to be to a point, and this is the prayer we're praying today. It's got to be to a point in your neighborhood, wherever you are, when somebody is sick and dying, they send for you. Glory to God. They send for you, say, come, you know, I pray. Glory to God. You know, they send for you before they even call for the ambulance. They send for you. You know, we need that kind of revival. We need that kind of firepower in our neighborhoods. So that's going to be our next prayer point. You know, and I want, you know, Sister Julia, are you in a place where you can pray? Can you pray?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, please take that prayer point.
Okay. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, once again, we want to thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to wake up and be in your presence, to hear your word. And in your word, there is life. In your word, there is power. You are that life. Lord, we have been hearing your word, and today we know and we feel it already that when that river is flowing, Lord, it's not supposed to be a lake, it's supposed to be a river that flows to others. We want to be channels of blessings to others. We want this anointing and this revival to be used to save souls of men. And I know that by your power, you have been prompting. These days, you have been prompting me. When I see patients, my mouth opens and I just start talking about you. And Lord, I'm asking for more for myself and for everyone that is in this room this morning and those that will listen to the replay. Father, that will not just hear these words and we eat and eat and be full, but Lord God, that we will allow this river to flow unto others. Lord, you have anointed us already. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach the gospel and to set at liberty those that are oppressed. You have given us this power. You said you have given us power, O God Almighty, to do exploits. Father, give us the grace to do exploits in your name. Let us go out and preach the gospel. Wherever we are, Lord, let us minister to others. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, as long and as much as you give us the opportunity. Let us see opportunities when they open up, when we are with other people. Lord God, let our spirit, oh God, be sensitive to opportunities to minister your word unto others. And let us take those opportunities. Lord, we come against every spirit of bashfulness, every spirit, oh God, that says, shut up, maybe this is not the right time, maybe this is not the right place. Every discouragement, we come against such in the name of Jesus. Let this fire so burn and this power be great upon us that we will not be able to resist. Father, give us this grace in the name of Jesus. Let this revival burst forth in our life. And Lord, let us touch other people. Let men be brought into your house. Lord, as it was with the apostles. Yes, when they were endued with power, they went out. And great was all that they did. And we read about that. Father, Lord God, we are asking this anointing for ourselves. Lord, as you begin to spark this fire in us and ignite these fires in us, my Lord and my God, we ask, oh God, that we minister to others. Minister your word, minister your love, minister your peace, minister your grace, even in giving, oh God. Father, Lord, that we will be channel of blessings to others in the mighty name of Jesus, to our neighbors. Lord God Almighty, that will not just wave to them, but Lord, give us opportunities to speak to them about you, about the coming of the Lord, about the saving grace in your name. Father, give us this grace in the name of Jesus. The people we walk with, the people we see every day, that man that brings the mail and all the kind of people walking in our homes. Father, give us this grace in the name of Jesus. Let us be evangelists for you. Let us be channels of blessing unto others. Rivers, let your river flow from us and unto others in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord God, let us not quench the spirit. When you are saying speak, give us the grace to open our mouths. And you will put that word in there. Lord, we just need to obey. Give us the grace to obey you in the name of Jesus. In this light, oh God, give us the grace and opportunity, oh God, to do the work of an evangelist. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory ba shetandori makuria la basanda. Kariba to sikindiri makuria. Thank you, Jesus. Ha. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And then shall the end come. Well, what is this gospel of the kingdom? Well, this gospel of the kingdom, he didn't just say, you know, any kind of gospel or any kind of preaching. You know, if we really want the end to come, we got to figure out what this gospel of the kingdom is. Oh, my goodness. The kingdom, the message that is going to bring in everlasting righteousness. The message that is going to establish Jesus as King of Kings. The message of Daniel chapter 2, when he says, you know, I saw a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. You know, the one with the stone that smashed that image and filled the whole earth and became a great mountain. You know, and in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall not be left to other people. In the days of those kings, not when the kings are gone, but during the days of those kings, as we are now, you know, we've been going through all the, you know, kingdoms of this world until the end. We are here. And in those days shall the Lord God Almighty set up a kingdom that shall not be left to other people. And that kingdom will smash the mystery of iniquity to pieces. Glory to God. And it will bring in everlasting righteousness. It will crown the most holy, to anoint the most holy. Glory to God. You know, this is, you know, this gospel of the kingdom that will bring forth the sons of God into their rightful place, you know, to establish, you know, him, Jesus, as the King of Kings. He said, and the kingdoms of this world, Revelation 11 and 15, when the seventh angel sounded, has become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. My goodness, it's the kingdoms of this world, not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdoms of this world, glory to God. It begins right here on this earth before we go to heaven. Yeah, and then when we go to heaven, we'll come back and rain judgment on the Antichrist system and take everything over. But it starts right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. You know, we must bring in everlasting righteousness. And it is, you know, it's a call. There is a call for the people of God to do this, you know. And we got to rise up to the same and take the challenge. We got to do it, folks. Who else is going to do it? You know, who's going to do it? We got to take that challenge. Listen to this story in Judges chapter 9. You know, I will start at verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. Now, all the trees represent the people, right? And they said unto the olive tree, this is one of the best trees, come and reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith thou, by me, they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? No, I don't have time. I'm not going to do it. So they went to the fig tree. Come and reign over us. You know, and the fig tree said, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? No, I'm not going to do it. So they went unto the vine. Now, these are all the goodly trees. They went unto the vine and said, come down and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my vine, which shareth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? No. Now, listen to this. Every one of those goodly trees they went to, they were stuck in their own ways and stuck in their own self-righteousness, you know, and they don't care. You know, it's just like, look, I mean, shall I, you know, leave the fellowship and then go down to this place? You know, I mean, I just want to stay here, you know, just come in every day, soaking and so forth like that. And that's it. And we don't have anything to give up. I mean, these people were just stuck in their own ways. You know, they didn't want, and they had an opportunity. Come and reign over us. And they said no. So, well, finally, they went to the bramble tree, which is the rubbish tree. First, all the good trees turned them down. You know, and this is the world today waiting for the good trees to step up. You know, but we've turned it out. You know, so they turned to the bramble bush. You know, so they turned to the bamboo bush, and the Bible says, yeah, well, for truth, you know, let fire come out from bamboo and devour you, you know, but not, that was in good fire, you know, and it brought destruction and turned ruins and so forth, because the people did not step up. And we have opportunity to step up, you know, we shouldn't shy away. Daniel, he stepped up when he was there, you know, I mean, he stepped up, and by him, oh my goodness. Through him, you know, eventually the king made a decree, let all nations and everywhere fear the God of Daniel. Glory to God. And if anyone were to speak anything against the God of Daniel, let them be cut in pieces and their houses, and then let their houses be made a dunghill. Glory to God. Same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stepped up in their time. All these people stepped up. Glory to God. When Esther had opportunity to step up, she didn't want to do it initially, but her uncle Mordecai said, step up to the plate. How do you know that maybe God has not set you up for such a time as this? We got to step up. For too long, you know, the children of God have just taken back seat. You know, we don't want to get involved. You know, it's called apathy. We don't want to get involved. We just sit on the wall. You know, we just don't care to get involved. We need to get involved, because the whole creation is waiting for the presentation of the sons of God. They're waiting, and until we step forth, and this kingdom must step forth, and this preaching of this kingdom, you know, that we need to come out and take our rightful place. Remember, you know, Revelation 12 and 5, they will rule the nations with a rod of iron eventually. And we got to get some practice right now. You know, you're not going to rule anything if you don't even know how to do a little thing. Jesus said, who then is that good and faithful servant whom the Lord has made appointed to give meat to his house in his season? Blessed is that man whom when the Lord cometh shall find him so doing. Verily I tell you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. Well, you know, you can't be ruler if you didn't do the thing that he's asking us to do now. You know, so to do it now is to give meat to his house. Glory to God. My meat, Jesus said, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, and my goodness, every time that Jesus does that, his soul is satisfied. He was hungry, in John chapter 4, and the disciples went. I mean, how many disciples does it take to go and buy bread? But they all went because they want to get a first few before they even bring any to the master. But meanwhile, he was left all alone. And this woman came, you know, and you know the story. But by the time they came back, he was no longer hungry because he had been filled, because there was a whole city and a whole village that turned to come and find, you know, Christ. And, you know, he's filled. He's no longer hungry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let us not starve the Lord. Anytime that we feed, I mean, anytime we are saving souls, preaching the gospel, doing this thing, we are feeding him. You know, when lives are being turned around, we are feeding him. Otherwise, he will go hungry. You know, he said, my meat is doing the will of God and finishing his work. And, you know, that's the same thing for us. Jesus was speaking for not only himself, but also for the church. Remember, Jesus is the head. It's not the only thing. He's the head. That church is his body. You know, so the way he is what we are. As he is in this world, so are we. Jesus said it also. He prayed in John chapter 17. He told them, as thou hast sent me, even so send I you. Then he turned around in John 20 and told them the same thing. As my father has sent me, so send I you. Well, the way his father sent him was for him, you know, to be finish the work. And so we must do the same thing. Glory to God. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Peace be unto you. As my father has sent me, even so send I you. What is it that the father sent him to do? To do the will of him that sent him and to finish the work. So we must also do the will and finish this work. This is a call to evangelism. As we get this revival fire in our hearts, we must mobilize to evangelize. Glory to God. And everywhere we go, you know, step out of the shadows and take our rightful place and bring in righteousness. Glory to God. Righteousness. You know, that's what it means by saying we must seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, the kingdom of God to bring in righteousness all around. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we must be seeking. There's too much unrighteousness in this world. And we must establish, we must enforce, glory to God, enforce through our lives, through us being epistles read of all men, and through vocally, you know, putting in our word for the Lord every opportunity we get. And take your time. Take your time when you get a chance. You expound the scriptures to them, you know. It's not just about, oh, have you given your life to Christ? You know, what does that even mean? They don't know what that means. Well, somebody who doesn't know anything, you know. So they need to understand, you know, grace when they are condemned. Redemption when it seems that it all is far too late. You got to be able to bring it out, articulate it to them, and bring the word of God and share with the people and be, you know, agents of change. Glory to God. That's what we must be. That's real revival. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, everyone that is here in the sound of my voice, and those that may be listening later on, that Lord, we will become true agents of change, that we will not back down. You know, when the people are yearning, looking for deliverers, they say deliverers shall come out of Zion. That's what they are looking for. They're looking for deliverers. They're looking for, and if we turn it down, then they would, you know, the whole world stand over against, you know, to the kingdom of darkness. But Lord, we must shine the light. We must pull the people out of darkness, and we must help, you know, their eyes to be open in order for them to receive forgiveness of sins. Father, we pray that you will enable us to understand these things and to step in. Step up to the plate and not to back down in the name of Jesus. Even as you have said, Lord, you said, if any man, you know, is ashamed of me, I also will be ashamed of him before the angels of God. But if any man would, you know, honor me and be bold, make proud to declare me, you know, before men, I also would declare him before the angels of God. Father, may we be such as make bold always to declare you, make bold to make known our stand. The Bible said the the Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. You know, we must communicate our values. We must let people know where we stand. Father, we pray that you help us to let people know where we stand. We cannot be secret service agents. You know, we cannot be closet Christians. We gotta come out, even as Jesus said, let your light so shine. You cannot light a candle and put it under the bushel. No, but you put it on top of the candlestick so it gives light to everyone that's in the house. Even in our homes now, we're no longer using candles. You know, but when they build the homes, they put the lights on the ceiling. You know, so it is higher than everything else and it can shine above everybody. You know, and give light to everyone. So also must we do. Father, make us, O God, truly shining lights, even as you have put in us the ability to shine. Make us a reflection. We cannot have shine by ourselves, but we're a reflection of your light. As the moon is a reflection of the light of the sun, so let us be a reflection of the light of the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Everywhere we go, Lord, put this urgency in our hearts, you know, to bring in the kingdom, everlasting righteousness. Ah, Lord, and we know you are coming soon, oh God. What will we have to show when you come? He said, and woe unto that servant who shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and be eating and drinking with, you know, the unbelievers and so forth. He said, well, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him and will catch him unawares and appoint his portion with the hypocrites and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. We will be that good and faithful servant whom the Lord shall find so doing, in doing the will of the Father and on a mission to finish his work. Must be on that mission to finish his work. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Well, I think the Holy Spirit, he took over the room and went in that other direction other than what I planned. And, you know, that's all good. That's part of God doing something new. God must be able to interrupt. We must allow him to interrupt our plans, even in the things of the gospel. When we plan things one way or the other, you know, let Holy Spirit do whatever he wants. You know, glory to God and let him have the glory. Well, we are going to bring this room to a close. I know many of us still have to go to the church services today, and we don't want this room to be too long so that you can get ready and go. You know, so have yourselves a blessed day. Remember, let's keep that fire burning. Keep that fire burning, and you know, let the river be flowing. Let's be a conduit, you know, and so forth. Or that, you know, the things that are plug up that flowing. We talked about that when we talked about the flowing of the Spirit. And that message is captured on the replay. You know, you can go look it up under my replays. You know, we got to get those kinks out of there and allow the Spirit to flow freely through us, energizing all the other things around us, you know, and people around us as well. So that is our purpose, and our mission is to finish the work, finish his work. Hallelujah. So let us finish, let us get in there and do it and never give up. Let us, by his grace, we've prayed about consistency today. We've prayed about the power for this revival to turn into evangelism. And we prayed that we may see and recognize the purpose of God. So let's walk in the same today as we go through this day and every day. And come back and visit us. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We'll see what the Lord has for us. Again, the time tomorrow will be 4:15 a.m. Pacific, 7:15 a.m. Eastern here in the U.S. And also, you know, in other parts in the U.K. and Nigeria, it'll be 12:15 p.m., just afternoon. And so we'll be back again by the grace of God, and enjoy the presence of God wherever you go today, and those going into their local houses of fellowship. Some people already have here in Arizona. We're yet to go. You know, enjoy the presence of the Lord, and let the house of God be filled with his glory. Say, I will fill this house with my glory, saith the Lord. I pray that the houses of worship today will be filled with the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Patience, for joining. And Sister Grace, God bless you. Brother Carl, good to see you again. Thank you always for joining. Brother Colapo, God bless you. Brother Charles, thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Julia. And of course, thank you, honey, for being here. We will be closing the room now, and we pray that you all have a blessed day and come back and visit us again tomorrow as we continue on this journey. The Lord bless you all, and this room will now be closing in five. And again, thank you, Sister Grace, for posting all those scriptures. That was wonderful. This room will be closing now in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. God bless everyone. Have a great day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.